From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for joining us today as we continue to let the Bible speak on the general subject of the law in relation to the cross and the Christian. We're currently dealing with the Ten Commandments, and this week with the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. In a day of rampant sexual impurity, not only in the world but in the church, this is a vital study, so stay tuned as we look carefully at God's Word. Remember that if the Lord has blessed these programs to you, we'd like to have your testimony to that effect. You may write, email, or call us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. Make sure when you write or call to request our quarterly magazine and our monthly devotional tape or CD. They're yours free of charge when you request them. We look forward to hearing from you. Here's a quick follow-up to the comment I made last week about the latest claim by evolutionists that they may have discovered a vital missing link, as they call it. This extraordinary creature, which they have named Tiktaalik rosei, was supposed to be a 375-million-year-old fossilized fish that was apparently getting ready in a few million years to become a land-dwelling animal. The Wikipedia entry on Tiktaalik boldly claims Tiktaalik is a genus of extinct lobe-finned fishes from the late Devonian period, with many features of those of four-legged animals. It is an example of ancient fish that developed land adaptations which led to the evolution of amphibians. Other writers were more cautious. According to them, the fossil fish may be a missing link. Its fins appeared to be legs in the making. Of course, none of this may be true, and there may be another perfectly non-evolutionary explanation. Well, not just maybe another explanation, there is another explanation. Answers in Genesis lecturer Dr. David Merton, a cell biologist who earned his PhD at Brown University, agrees that Tiktaalik is a lobe-finned fish. According to evolutionary theory, lobe-finned fish became extinct millions of years ago. They were known from the fossil record, which shows that they did not have bones connecting their fins to the axial skeleton. That meant that the fins were for swimming, not walking. They were not legs. They were not embryonic legs. They were not even first cousins to legs. What placed all this beyond the realm of speculation was the discovery in 1938 of a living lobe-finned fish, the coelacanth, which evolutionists claim was closer to amphibians than Tiktaalik rosei, and which was supposed to have gone extinct 135 million years ago. Unfortunately for evolutionists, that stubborn fish had decided to keep on living. And when it was discovered, as I say, in 1938, by the scientific community, it conformed exactly to what had been found in the fossil record. In other words, the very structures that in Tiktaalik evolutionists want us to believe are legs under construction, though a few million years away from their completion date, had not changed one iota. The coelacanth was never intended to be a walking fish, and neither was Tiktaalik. Neither furnishes evidence of the evolution of one species to another. Yet the discovery of Tiktaalik is the basis for such assertions that it was widely seen by scientists as a powerful rebuttal to religious creationists. Now here's the point. If evolutionists are reduced to making wild claims on such a flimsy basis, their beloved theory must have no real evidence to support it at all. The fact that evolutionists can dream up a supposed evolutionary history, which comes apart when tested by hard evidence, is no proof of their theory, any more than the imagination of the author of the Da Vinci Code is historical proof of his ravings. Tiktaalik has had its 15 minutes of fame, or at least the evolutionists who wrote about it have had theirs. It may take a little longer than 15 minutes, but it's only a matter of time before even the scientific literature, despite its Darwinian bias, admits, as it has had to do in the past, that this missing link is the link that never was. That is, it never was what Darwin's disciples said it was.
Hallelujah, it is done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. 'Tis the promise of God for salvation to give. believe on the Son, I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Though the pathway be lonely and dangerous too, surely Jesus is able to carry me through. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one.
We'll be coming to a text in Exodus chapter 20. And verse 14, but our reading will be from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. Before I read the Scriptures, I must confess that I feel the difficulty that has been expressed by many a preacher on coming in his dealing with the law of God to the seventh commandment. I think the difficulties that I've read of, for instance, in a great American preacher by the name of William S. Plummer, unknown, sadly, to all too many American pastors even today, but one of the truly great expositors of God's Word. When I think of his complaint in his day, and then when I go back even further into American history and read the lamentation of Timothy Dwight, when the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, when he was dealing with the law of God, I realized that what they thought was difficult was really not at all difficult in comparison to the situation of preachers today. We come to deal with the law of God and the subject of morality, and most particularly sexual morality. In the day in which we live, language has become very debased. Not only so, modesty has become very rare, even in the pulpit. And to make matters worse, our vocabulary has become more and more restricted. And therein lies the difficulty of the preacher. The English language is one of the richest languages ever known to man. And it has all the terms that are necessary to convey all the meanings that a preacher would need to convey in studying the seventh commandment. However, to the vast majority of English-speaking people, even to the vast majority of fairly highly educated English-speaking people, those words are now utterly meaningless and have been replaced by the garbage talk of the gutter. And that forms part of the difficulty of any preacher in dealing with modesty, with delicacy, and yet with honesty, with the matters that the Scriptures bring before us in the seventh commandment. Timothy Dwight pointed out that in his day some people felt that they were too delicate to have God's law on this matter preached to them. He pointed out that we cannot be holier than God. God's law is for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable, and this is part of that holy law of God. We're going to be reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Jesus saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Our text is in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Five simple words in the English language: Thou shalt not commit adultery. Possibly none of the Ten Commandments is less intelligible to people of our generation than this. Not only unintelligible, but totally unwelcome. Indeed, it is so unacceptable that living in flagrant defiance of this commandment has become a way of life for millions. So much is it ingrained in the perverse habits of this generation that again and again we hear from college campuses around the country that young people who desire to keep themselves pure are under constant attack as if they were something strange. How perverse can people be? Chastity today is a rare jewel. I'm sad to say that that is true even in the professing Christian church. One cannot be but shocked at the results of various polls that have been taken. One can only hope that somewhere a mistake has been made in the data, that the levels of immorality in the church are just about equal with those in the world, that even in many a Bible-believing, fundamental, gospel-preaching church, there is as much promiscuity and evil living as there is out there in the world. Back in the year 1631, an English printer made a horrendous mistake in the edition that he was printing of the authorized version of the Scriptures. In printing the seventh commandment, he left out the negative and printed it as, Thou shalt commit adultery. He was fined the awful sum of £300. A full year's wages in those days. One would think nowadays that he had printed the exact text of Scripture so widely practiced is wickedness and immorality. Despite the revolution in morals that has debased modern society, the seventh commandment is still the law of God. Any breach of it is sin. This is no small commandment to break. I would have you remember that the first seven commandments each carried the death penalty under the Mosaic Code. The commission of adultery was in God's law to be visited by death. That is how seriously the Lord views the matter of personal chastity. As I studied this commandment, I thought that perhaps Paul's word to Timothy, a young man facing all the pressures both of his own nature and of the world and of the devil, Paul's word to Timothy is the simplest summary of this command. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, Paul ended the verse, "Keep thyself pure." Keep thyself pure. And I will seek to show tonight that is the meaning and the message of the seventh commandment. Now, as we consider this, I will want you to note with me first the basis of the seventh commandment. The terms of it are, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And those terms indicate very clearly that this commandment is based on the uniqueness and the sanctity of the marriage relationship. Adultery is the sin of marital infidelity. It is the physical union of a married person with someone other than his spouse. Now, that is the essence and the grossness of this sin. This sin is the fundamental breach of the marriage relationship. So that if you're going to understand why the Lord inserts this in the Ten Commandments, you will have to understand the biblical doctrine of marriage. There is a very clear growth, or should I say, a development in the Ten Commandments. Obviously, there is first our duty to God, our duty to God's name, our duty to God's day. Then we come into the family, and there is the duty of children to parents and parents to children. Recognizing the central importance of the home in the entire fabric of human society. But if the home is ever to amount to anything as a power for good or a power for God, then there must be the most absolute hedge of protection placed around the marriage union. And in the Scripture, we find therefore that marriage is an institution of God. That is clear from what we read tonight. The Lord Jesus said it was God who made them male and female at the beginning. It is God who brought them together in marriage and who declared that ever after that, so close is this union that even the union of parent and child must give way to it. And a man will leave his father and mother and will cleave or cling unto his wife. Marriage is not an evolution of some societal process. Marriage was not the discovery, a happy discovery, that society would be better organized on this basis. Marriage is not something dreamed up by the skill or the wit of man. Marriage was the institution of God when, in the very act of creation, He brought together a man and a woman and bound them as one flesh.
You've been listening. listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.